The Gemara Mesachim on Dav Zayin formulates a din, Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Mevorach Aleihem Oivel Asiyosim. There's a Takanas Chacham to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah immediately before observing the mitzvah. And the Gemara didn't use the Loshen Koidem Asiyosim. The Gemara says Oivel Asiyosim, so the Rishonim understand that that means immediately before. You shouldn't say the bracha too early. So Tosfos on the top of Chesam and Aleph quotes a Gemara from Menachos. The sugi there talks about Hanochas Tefillin. So the Gemara says Tefillin Meimasai Mevorach Aleihem. When is the proper time to say the bracha on Tefillin? So you don't say the bracha as you're taking out the Tefillin from the Tefillin Zekel. Where are we? Tesam and Aleph. You don't say the bracha as you're taking the tefillin out of the tefillin zekel. That's too far in advance. You already have the tefillin, the shalyad, on your arm. Tefillin mishas hanocha. You already have the tefillin on the arm. Ve'ad shas kshira. What does the word kshira mean? So in biblical Hebrew, rabbinical Hebrew and biblical Hebrew are not necessarily the same. The Gemara makes a statement: Loshen Torah luchud, Loshen Chachamim luchud. Rabbinical Hebrew is not necessarily the same as biblical Hebrew. So in biblical Hebrew, we don't have a word lahadek. Lahadek means to tighten. It says k'shartam leos al yadecha v'hayyidat tatoiz benyechu k'shartam leos. So you can interpret, it doesn't mean you have to tie a knot. You can interpret, you tighten the ritzuas. You can say in Chumash like that. But in the Gemara it says, "Meimasai mevorach aleihem mishas hanocha ve'ad shas kshira." Is the Gemara just quoting the biblical Hebrew? Ukshatim lo sal yadecha. So it says ad shas kshira till you do the hiduk. Or is the Gemara writing in rabbinical Hebrew? They could have said ad shas hiduk. What is ad shas kshira? So maybe what it implies is that you have to tie a knot every day on the tefillin. So that's a machlekes Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Eliyahu, I think, was the brother-in-law of Rabbeinu Tam. Anybody check it out? I think it was his brother-in-law. His opinion was you have to tie the knot every day. What does that mean, you have to tie the knot? So Taisus understood the Rabbeinu Eliyahu to mean you have to untie the Kesher Shal Yad the Yud every day and tie it anew. So they were bothered with a kasha from the end of Erev and Daf Tzadik Zayin. But Ode, the last seven lines in Taisus, the Bereish HaMoitzei Tefillin, the last parak in Erevin, the Marsha points out, the last parak in Erevin is like a siyum on the whole Masichta, because many dinim in Erevin were only the Rabbanon, so therefore there's room to be mekel. If you'd really be dealing with dinim deraisa, you'd only be mekel b'makam sakana, sofik sakana. But because many of the dinim are only with the rabbanon, so the last pirik has you make on the different things. So it talks about tefillin. The garbage collectors are collecting the garbage on Shabbos, the nachrim, and there's someone threw a pair of tefillin in the garbage. It looks like it's a if it's a fake, if it's an imitation tefillin, then there's no heter to be in violation even of the rabbanon if it's only a fake. But if it's really a proper pair of tefillin, then you should even bend over backwards a little bit to violate their abundance also perhaps in order to be matzah l'tefillin from design, that it shouldn't be destroyed. So the Mishnah has there, that's the name of the parak, Hamoitzei Tefillin. In Europe, the minhag used to be that by many rabbanon, Talmid Chacham, when a child would become bar mitzvah, they would learn in the beginning a parak Hamoitzei Tefillin, just a few, the first couple lot. The rest is other kulas, but other things. In the Masechta, but the beginning is about tefillin. Talks about whether tefillin is magrama, women are pata, talks about Shabbos and Yom Tov, whether it's man tefillin, Laila is man tefillin. A lot of the topics that appear in Menachos and Daf Lamed Hey around there, so a lot of them are appear also in Erevin. So the Gemara there has a discussion: what if Hamoitzei tefillin, the tefillin have ritzuas, but there's no kesher on the ritzuas? And the garbage collectors are going to take it and incinerate it. Are you permitted to make the kesher on the tefillin in order to wear it? He's not going to carry the tefillin. is going to wear the tefillin. But the only time it's considered, whatever you wear is not an Issur Hatzor. If you wear begodim or you wear tachshitim, that's derech levisha, so that's not a violation of Hatzor. But it's only if you wear the tefillin properly. I'm going to wear, put a shal rosh on my right arm. I'm going to put a shal yad on my hand. That's not the normal way of levisha. That's carrying it. Maybe it's carrying kalach hayad, but it's still, it's carrying. So the Gemara says that if the tefillin, if you have the batim, and the ritzuas do not have the proper kesher, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to make a kesher on Shabbos. Rob, the Bereish HaMoetz tefillin mashma, the also liksha kesher shal tefillin mashma shum. Why? So Tosis is assuming mashum davi kesher shal kayama. That's what they're adding. The Gemara doesn't say that. Self-understood. On Shabbos you have, there are 24 prokem on Masechah Shabbos. One pair of Zeluk Shor, all about kosher on Shabbos. So there are three categories. Kesher shal kayama zasim an atar, kesher shena shal kayama zasim an rabbanon. And if it's aroi daroi, let's say the women have dresses or that the men wear a tie. So when you're finished your business for the day, you say untie the knot. So that's aroi daroi. You've got to untie it in the same day. Or women have a lot of dresses where they tie knots. And then when they take off the dress before they go to sleep, so then they untie all the knots. So it's osi lahatira ba'osi yom, that's aroi daroi. So it's even mutam in the rabbanon. Moshe Feinstein extrapolates from that Gemara a klal with respect to all the lamata salvas malochas, that if you do the malocha shel keva bikvius, then it's a malocha deraisa, malochas malshevas asfater. If you do aroi, it's the rabbanon. If it's aroi daroi, then it's mutam even the rabbanon. Okay. The Gemara only says it by kosher, but Moshe extrapolates from kosher to all the lamed as all is malach. Okay, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to tie the kesher on Shabbos mashma, because it sounds like it's an isa deraisa. So it would appear that it's a malach deraisa. The Kramina, the Gemara says there Yushana is if the tefillin were worn already, the tefillin looked like they were used pair of tefillin. So machnisan zug zug. What does it mean zug zug? I forgot already. Zug means one shal yad, one shal rosh. The Gemara there has a machlokes satanim. Are you allowed to put on two shal yads at the same time and two shal roshes at the same time? So I already forgot which way zug zug means. Zug zug means only one shal yad, one shal rosh. Something like that. Okay. The Gemara says, why is it mutter? Because mok miyesh barosh al nech shnei tefillin, mok miyesh bayad al nech shnei tefillin. Is there enough room to put two batim on the arm? It depends, Tosa says, it depends what size tefillin you're wearing. If you're wearing a grandfather tefillin, in Europe they used to make gigantic tefillin, there's barely room for one tefillin, for one bias. If you have teeny weeny tefillin, there may be room for three batims. How does the Gemara make a statement? Mokim yesh barosh, mokim yesh bayad l'hanech shnei tefillin. If you're going to wear the tefillin over here, on the hand, that's shaloi k'derech haitzor. That's haitzor. That's not derech levisha. That's not called levisha. So if you wear two shal yads, mokem yesh b'yad, mokem yesh b'rosh, la'nech shnei tefillin, then it's called levisha kedarka. Even though normal people don't wear two shal roshes at the same time, but if they're both in the correct place, then it's okay. So Tosis there ask a question. What do you mean mokem yesh b'yad, mokem yesh b'rosh? Depends on how big the tefillin are. So Tosis must be talking about the average normal size tefillin. What's the average normal size tefillin? So Tosis quotes, I think, the Shemusha Rabbah, that it's two etzbos. The bias has to be square. So it's two etzbos by two etzbos. Two etzbos means the width of the... We usually assume some Talmid HaChacham and our generation came up with a chiddush that the etzbos is measured differently. But the way it was measured for the last 1,000 years, an etzba means the width of the thumb where it's fat. Others want to say it's the length of the thumb over here. I don't know. But so normal tefillin, shal yad, normal tefillin, shal rosh, normal size, you can make it tinier, you can make it bigger. But normal size is two etzbos by two etzbos. And there's enough room on in the head. And it depends how big the person's head is. Also, bar mitzvah child, his head is much smaller than when he grows up. His head is going to be bigger. So an adult's head in a normal size tefillin, there's enough room for two shal yads. Two shal roshes. So the Gemara says, if it's Yushonis, if it's an old pair of tefillin that obviously they wear a lot, so you can wear it on Shabbos in order to save it from Bizoy and Kisvei HaKadosh. Al b'chadoshes loy. First Gemara, what does mean chadoshes? Kari, what's the pirish amilas chadoshes? And in B'kushos, there's no kesher. So the Shaila said, what's wrong with making a kesher? So the answer is because of kesher shal kayama. But according to the Rabbi Elio, that you have to untie the knot every day and tie it anew. So it's not the, what is called, what's the definition of a kesher shal kayama? So kesher shal sapanim. Kesher shal sapanim means sailors that go on a boat. So they have to tie the, what do you call it? The flag on the boat. The sail. You have to tie the sail, so you have to make a big knot, gigantic knot. You're going to leave it like that for a year, for a couple of years, for half a year, for a long, long, long time. So that's a kesher shal kayam. But if you're going to untie it every day, that's like you make a double knot on your shoes. That's a kesher shen shal kayam. You're not going to wear the shoes for a couple of months. You're going to take it off every night when you go to sleep. So Tosfos argues, but the Rabben Eliyahu avim hoya osi likshar lahata b'chol yom. Going to Rabben Eliyahu, I untie it every day. It should be heter gomer. It should be like the shoelaces. It should be like the knots on the women's dresses. It should be muta legamre to tie it and untie it on Shabbos. That's the kasha of Tosfos against Rabben Eliyahu. So there's a famous Mordechai there in the last perek in Erevin. The Mordechai says, Migudah habi kesher legabi tefillin, habi kesher legabi Shabbos. That the Gemara says there is a machlokes hatanaim whether aniva is if you make a bow, whether aniva is considered a kesher shal kayama or kesher shenu shal kayama for Shabbos purposes. So the Gemara says the same machlokes rebuta in the Rabbanan. We paskan aniva is called the kesher shenu shal kayama. Make a bow. It's not deraisa. If you make the bow for a long time, then it'll be awesome the Rabbanan. We usually, when we make a bow, we make aniva al gabi kesher. First he cross the two, that's a person gets glila. So first he crosses the two ends of the gartel against each other. Then he makes an aniva al gabi kesher. So aniva al gabi kesher, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if you get glila in the morning, by shachris, they're going to lay from the Sefer Torah by mincha. So they're going to untie it the same day. So even to make a double knot is mut, they're going to untie it the same day. But if they gave you glila by mincha, so then you should not do that. You should not do aniva gabi kesher. That's awesome. The rabbanon, if it's not going to be untied the same day, so you just wrap around the gartel and tuck it in. I remember when we learned Masechah Shabbos, Rav Soloveitchik gave written exams all the time. He gave a final each term. So he asked one of the questions was heich yisnahig hagolel. What should a person do if he gets galil on Shabbos? So one of the students obviously didn't know the answer. Wrote he should say mishaberach and he should give some money to the shul. We were learning Masechah Shabbos. He meant about aniva gabi kesher. He spoke about it, and the kid didn't know. He wasn't paying attention. So that's a famous comment that the so the Gemara says according to the Tana that aniva. According to Reb Yudah, that aniva is considered a kesher shal kayama, then it's good for tefillin also. And according to the way we paskan, aniva is a kesher sheina shal kayama, it's not deraisa, then aniva would not be kosher for the kesher of tefillin. How can you make, just a comment on Gemara, how can you make an aniva? Doesn't it, the shal rosh has to be in the shape of a dalet, shal yad has to be in the shape of a yud, you can do that with an aniva. The Rishonim to give you a step by step exactly how you're supposed to make the knot. So I think we spoke about it last week on Parshas Kisavai. Baruch Alamaros Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. The Gemara says Eilat Tefillin LeShabarosh. The Gemara in Brochus and Davav says that's referring to Tefillin LeShabarosh. Pasha Pshat is not, but that's a comment that the Gemara has on the Pasuk. So Rashi writes, why is it referring to Tefillin LeShabarosh? Because on the Shabarosh you have the Shin. On the Bais, then you have the Dalet and the Kesher, and the Yud over here spells out Shem Hashem. Shin Dal Yud is one of the Zayin Shem Shein and Chokim. And 2/3 of the Shem Hashem is on the Shal Rosh. And that's why the Pasuk says, Baruch Allah Ma'aratz, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alech. To see that the Shal Rosh has the first two letters of the name of Shin Dalet Yud. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says the fact that you need a Tzuras Dalet, the fact that you need a Tzuras Yud, that's only Midrabban. That's not Ben HaTorah. Gemara says Kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshim Sein. Gemara doesn't say Dalet shel tefillin. Gemara doesn't say Yud shel tefillin. There should be a Kesher. And in fact, the Gemara says whether Aniva would be good for Kesher shel tefillin depends. If you all like Rabbi Yudah Aniva's Kesher shel kayam legabi Shabbos, then it'll be a Kesher shel kayam legabi. Then it'll be a good Kesher for tefillin. If you all like the Chachamim, that Aniva is not a Kesher shel kayam for Shabbos for Chiyuv. Malecha Shabbos, then it wouldn't be a Kesher Shel Tefillin either. So would it be for the Gemara, Pasha Pshat? You're going to make an Aniva, it's not going to have a Tzuras Dal, not going to have a Tzuras Yud at all. You just need a Kesher, that's all. It should be considered a Kesher. It's based on that Gemara in the last Perek in Erevin that there's a Chumra from the Avnei Nezer and the Ragat Shavar also agreed with the Avnei Nezer. It says an often a Gemara. Let's say I borrowed tefillin from somebody else and the Shal Rosh is too big or too small. So I untie the kesher and I tie it again that it should fit my head. And then what's going to be after I finish davening? So I'm going to make it back his size. So the kesher is only going to last for, I'm going to daven shachris. How long do you daven shachris? Some people daven 15 minutes, some people daven an hour, 15 minutes, whatever. However long it takes you to daven shachris. So if they finish davening the shachris, it's going to make the kesher back the way it was before. So that's less than 24 hours. So that's a kesher sheina shel kayoma. So that's what the Avnei Nezer came up with a chiddush, that that's not correct. That if you borrowed a pair of tefillin from someone else, you did over the kesher, you should leave it for 24 hours, and that solves the problem. How does that solve the problem? You leave it for 24 hours, that's a kesher shel kayoma. That's only midirabbanan. That's midirabbanan. Venatur, it's only called a kesher shel kayoma. If you plan to leave it for half a year, kesher shel saponim, you're going to leave it for a long, long time. Making a Boy Scout kesher, whatever, a real kesher, a gigantic knot that's going to last for a long, long time. More than 24 hours, less than 24 hours, that's al pi pashta, that's within the rabbanans. That if you do a malocha aroi, it's also in the rabbanan, but if it's aroi daroi, then it's even mutam in the rabbanan. That the original gemara is by kesher, Rav Moshe extrapolated from kosher to all the malochas like that, but the original gemara is by kosher. So the pashta says that 12 hours is a shver avort. In Europe, the practice used to be before the war. The bochum from the yeshivas used to send kashas or shilas to the ragachava on a double postcard. They used to have it in America also. I haven't seen it in 70 years. When I was a little boy, I remember seeing it. They would send you a postcard in the mail, and then you would rip on the perforation, and the postage would be paid on the return postcard. So the one who received the original postcard could give a response, so he wouldn't have to pay for the postage, for the return postage. So they used to, the Ragachova would go broke if he would have to pay for the postage, because people sent them hundreds of letters all the time. So they would send them kashas. From the Litvish yeshivas and from the Chassidish yeshivas, everybody would ask him kashas and learning, or shilas. He wasn't really the right person to ask shilas to. He wasn't into, it wasn't really his field. But kashas they used to ask. And he would answer, he would always answer everything. So they put out several collections. They keep on putting together more postcards. They put out several collections of letters, of these postcards that the Ragachova sent. So on one of the postcards, they asked him, what does he say about the Chumrah of the Avnei Nezer? He says, this is the Peferish Gemara in Erevin. And the Gemara says, if an Aniva is a Kesher Shel Kayama for Shabbos, then it's good for Tefillin. If it's not a Kesher Shel Kayama for Shabbos, then it's not good for Tefillin either. So you see, it has to be a Kesher Shel Kayama. If you plan to take it apart within an hour, very, very shortly after making the Kesher, then by definition, not a kesher shel kayama. The pashta says that it's not so. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say in the name of his father. The pashta says that there are two dinim in kesher shel kayama and hilchas Shabbos. One din that the tzuras hakesher has to be a kesher shel kayama, and the other din that you have to plan to leave it for 6 months, for a long, long time. So the halacha that the kesher by tefillin is identical with kosher by Shabbos. That's the tzuras hakesher has to be a kesher shel kayama. So if you hold aniva is a kesher shel kayama, it would be good for tefillin. If you hold aniva is not a kesher shel kayama, it wouldn't be good. But the other din in hilchos Shabbos that has to be malachtim miskayemis. That's a mishnah. Kol oisam malacha b'Shabbos and malachtim miskayemis b'Shabbos. All the malachas have to be shel kayama. If you make a binyan kavua, you build a house, that's their ice. Make oil aroi, that's only the rabbana. So that's based on the expression used in the pasuk, malachas malshevis. Right, malachas malshevis never says by Shabbos, it says by the Mishkan, that the people who did the work on the Mishkan did beautiful work, malachas malshevis. But all the dinim of Shabbos are derived from asiyas ha-Mishkan. So that's how the Gemara, in the end of the first paragraph in Chagiga, points it out. That malachas malshevis never says by Shabbos, it's carried over from malachas ha-Mishkan to Hilchas Shabbos. So there are two dinim in Shel Kayam, but the Tzuras HaKesher, that's a din in Kesher and Kol HaTorah Kula. But that it should be lasting for a long time, that's only a special din in Hilchas Shabbos. That doesn't apply to to the Tefillin, Al Pi Pashtas. Moshe Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's the pshat in the Chumar HaRamah. The Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Shabbos quotes on the Shilta Gibayrim. On the side of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Shilta Gemara is in the back on the side of the Rif. It's written by Rabbi Shua Boaz, the same rabbi who put all the Masechta Shas on the side, Ayin Mishpat, the Mitzvah, the Torah, or all the cross references, all the Marim comes. So he, this is just references, so he put on the side, Shilta Gemara on the side of the Rif. He'll sometimes quote the Rosh, sometimes quote Geonim, Rishonim. Once he quotes a lot, Tosis Rid. Every so often, I'll give his own opinion. So he has this chumrah that you shouldn't make a double knot on Shabbos, on your shoelaces, even though you plan to untie it right away, within 24 hours. A chumrah. Why is there such a chumrah? Yeah. So the Ramah quotes it from the Shilta Gibayrim that it's based on the Rambam's opinion. That the Rambam has, we said before, that's the way other Rishonim learned, that Moshe Feinstein extrapolated from kosher to all the malachas. If you do kavua, if you do shel kayoma, then it's a malacha derais. If you do aroi, it's a malacha derabban. If it's aroi derais, so then it's even mutam derabban. So that's how most of the Rishonim learned pshat in the Mishnah and Eilu Ksharim, which ksharim amuta, which are asam derabban, and which amuta legamrei. And the Rambam has a different shot. The Rambam holds it has to be a kesher shal umnim. Has to be you have to go to a special Boy Scouts clubs to learn how to make a kesher. Go to Selah's university to know how to make a kesher shal saponim. If it's a kesher shal umnim, then it's also even if you plan to untie it. Rambam has a different shita. So part of the Rambam shita, that's not the whole shita, part of the Rambam's unique shita is that it has to be a kesher shalumnim. And that's also to do even if you don't plan to leave it for too long. So the Shilta Gibayrim says the reason why such a minhag developed, that you don't allow making a double knot on the shoelaces, even though you plan to untie it on the same day, is because of choshish for the Rambam's opinion, that it's a kesher shalumnim, you're not allowed to do it even if you plan to untie it, even though it's not shel kayama. In the Torah, you need two things. You need both kesher shalumnim and shel kayama. Rabban, if you have A without B, or B without A, then it's also awesome, Rabban. If you're missing both B and A, then it's mutar even with the Rabban. So the Shilta Gibayrim says, whenever you make a double knot, v'choshish, maybe that's a kesher shalumnim, and according to the Rambam, kesher shalumnim is also awesome, Rabban, even if it's not shel kayama. So that's a pella. You have to go to university, to graduate school, to know how to make a kesher al gavei kesher. Anybody knows how to do that. A knot and another knot on top of it. Why is that a kesher shalumnim? It's a pella. So Moshe Soloveitchik gave a different beer. He said a very beautiful explanation in the minig. He suggested as follows. There is a gigantic tesis in Yuma, Lamed Vava, so Lamed Zayin. A long tesis starts on Lamed Beis and it keeps on going on Lamed Aleph. About Hilchas Shabbos, Davar Sheni Miskaven, on Shabbos, the Tosis raises the question: how come we pasken like Reb Shimon? The two famous disputes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah, Reb Shimon the Tana, Reb Shimon by Yichai, not Reb Shimon Shkab, Reb Shimon by Yichai. My father-in-law used to teach in Torah Das. He used to always quote Reb Shimon. So the students once asked him, which Reb Shimon? He said, the real Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Shkab. What do you mean? Because he learned for Reb Shimon Shkab, the real Reb Shimon, not the Tana. So the days of the Tanaim, there were two Tanaim, Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. So they had two machlokes in Hilchos Shabbos. One was whether Dovah Shein Miskaben Osar Amuta, and one was whether Malacha Shein Svicha Lagufa is Deraisa Derabon. Reb Shimon is Mekel on both. And basically, we pass on that Reb Shimon on both. The Rambam doesn't, but in Shulchan Aruch, we accept Reb Shimon's opinion on both, that Dovah Shein Miskaben is Muta Lagamre, and Malacha Shein Svicha Lagufa is only Osar and Derabonan on Shabbos. Gemara at times links the two together as if there's some kind of connection. The Torah says, what in the world kind of a connection is to have totally unrelated to each other? Okay, so that's a problem with the Gemara. Why did Gemara try to link it together? Just because a whole like one Reb Shimon means you have to follow everything Reb Shimon said? We never follow like that. We pick whatever we think is the best shita in each case. There's no one safer. The Ketzos doesn't always win, and the Sivas doesn't always win, and the Osamech doesn't always win. Every sefer has the best essay on some topic or another. Every sefer is valuable because he has the best essay on some topic or another. But nobody has the best essay on everything. So Tosis points out, Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutam, and Ataris Mutam and the Rabbanon also. And Malach Shein Tzvicha Lagufa, according to Reb Shimon, is Mutam and Ataris, but it's also the Rabbanon. How come there's a discrepancy? Both of them are Mutam and Ataris, so why do they Asim and the Rabbanon Dov Shein? Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lagufa, and they never asked Dov Shein Miskaven. So Tosis explains they asked Mid Rabbanon Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lagufa on Shabbos Kedei LaHashva Shabbos L'Shar Kol HaTorah Kula, that the concept of Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lagufa only applies to Shabbos, doesn't apply in other areas of Malacha, even if you're talking about Malacha. Let's say Malachas HaKarka on Shnas HaShemitah. You're not allowed to do Malachas Karka and Shnas HaShemitah. So Tosis has a proof from the Gemara that Malachas Shein Tzvicha Lagufa is Osam and Atorah by Shemitah. It's only Akula by Hilchos Shabbos and Yontem. It doesn't apply to Shemitah. So Tosis says, since the Kula of Malachas Shein Tzvicha Lagufa only applies in Hilchos Shabbos, so with the Rabbanan, they made a Chumra that you're not allowed to do Malachas Shein Tzvicha Lagufa Kdei Lahashvat Shabbos L'Shar Kol HaTorah Kula. But Dov Shein Miskaven, according to Reb Shimon, is Mutas Mutan Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not just Mutan and Hilchos Shabbos. So if it's Mutan Kol HaTorah Kula, so why should they introduce a Chumra with the Rabban? So Reb Moshe Soloveitchik suggested that on Shabbos, the din is that you need Kesher Shal Kayama for two reasons. Number one, the definition of Kesher and Kol HaTorah Kula is the Tzuras HaKesher. Where do you have kesher and kol HaTorah Kula? You have kosher on Shabbos. There's a malach. Where else do you have kesher? Kesher shel tefillin. Is there any other area of halacha where there's a din of kesher? So the minig is that there is by chalitza. The yavam wears on his a chalitza shoe on his right foot, and you make a kesher shel kayama on the shoe, and then the yavam has to untie it. The minig is that we insist she do it. She should do it with her right hand. There's a Mishnah that says in Yevamos Cholze B'Smol Chalitzos Psula. So there's a Tosus later. Where's the Tosus? I forgot already. Somewhere around Davchav. So there's a Tosus where they understood the Mishnah. It's a Peladika Tosus. Tosus has Cholze B'Smol Chalitzos Psula means if she took off the shoe with her left hand, the Chalitza is Psula. So Tosus in some says, how can that be? But the Gemara says Gidemus Choletzos B'Shineho. What if she's missing arms? The Yavama doesn't have any arms. So how can she be mitaris lehinasel ashuk? The Gemara says, if she wants to do chalitza, let her untie the shoe with her teeth. You got no choice. You can't make a shliach. You see, from the Gemara, she can't make a shliach to do the chalitza for her. Neither the Yavam nor the Yavama can make a shliach. So if the Yavama is a gidemes, she's missing a hand, so choletz is bishinehu. So Tosis says, how can you say that chaltza bismal, she did the chalitza with the left hand? You don't have to use your hands at all. You can use your teeth. But Tosis says, no, but if you're using your hand, use the left hand, that's worse than Chalitza B'Shinayim. Chalitza B'Shinayim is better. It's a pella. The Gemara in Yevamos is beferish. Chalitza B'Smol means if the shoe was on the left foot of the Yavam, it doesn't mean she did the Chalitza with her left hand. It's a pella. But L'chatchila v'choshish for that Tosis. I forgot where it is. Somewhere around Davchov. Oh, here it is, the top tesis. Top tesis on Chofim and Alaf, yeah. Gidemus Chalatzis B'Shinehu. So Taisa says that Bismala is worse. So we even have a Chumra, the Yavama, if she's right-handed. If she's a lefty, so you tell her to do the chalitza with her left hand. But if she's right-handed, so you tell her, put your left hand behind your back to make sure that she doesn't forget. Because normally when you take up shoelaces, you use both hands together. So you tell the Yavama, put your left hand behind your back and then take off the chalitza shoe with the right hand. So the minig is that you make a kesher shel kayama on the shoe that it should be holding tightly. Then Yavama unties with the right hand, with the left hand behind the back, and the right hand, she unties the knot, and then she takes it and she throws it away. She throws it, that's the way the Rambam describes it. The only mocha for that is the Zohar. That doesn't say in the Gemara. So they say, obviously the Rambam knew, was aware of the Zohar. Either the Rambam knew the Zohar, or that was always the minhag. That was always the minhag. Maybe the Rambam didn't know the Zohar, but that's he's describing the way they did chalitza. Rambam takes off the shoe and she throws it away on the side. So other Rishayim disagree. Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza, other Rishayim disagree. Who says you have to have a knot at all? What's wrong if you have an aniva? So the minhag is you make an aniva al gabi kesher to satisfy the both opinions. It's very, very strange minhag. The Vilna Gaon always gives marmakamis for everything. The Bir Agron Shulchan Aruch, he always gives marmakamis for every line in the Shulchan Aruch. So he writes over here, jokingly, he writes, Chumarta de Chumarta. Chumarta is Aramaic for a knot. So he's making fun that this is a chumra on top of a chumra. There's no marker for this. So he says, Chumarta de Chumarta. The whole thing is a chumra on top of a chumra. Doesn't make any sense. But that's the minik. It's a peladika minik. You make an aniva on top of a kesher and you have the ibama untie everything. So we have, after we have such a minik, so we have Kala Tarakula, what's called Tarakula? There are three cases where there's an issue of a kesher. One is by Shabbos, Malach of Kosher. One is by Tfilin, Kesher Shal Tfilin, Allah Moshim Sin. And one is by Sandal Shal Chalitza.
What about Lulav?
If you have Lulav Tzarech Eged, yeah, that is correct. That's right. Okay. That is correct. The Gemara says, according to the Tanna, that Lulav Tzarech Eged, so you need a kesher Shal Kayama. And Rashi writes in Sukkah that even though we pass in Lulav, ain't a Tzarech Eged. Well, chatchila, it's a mitzvah to have an eged. So Rashi says, you're only yotzeh de lachatchila if you make a kesher gabi kesher, because there has to be a kesher shal kayama. Nachon?
Would that also apply to igud of Ezov and Shnita Las? Or?
Should be. Should, ought to be. The Gemara learns out one from the other. Should be. You should need a kesher shal kayama there too. Yeah. So Ramosha Soloveitchik thought that the din of kesher and kola tarakula, there aren't so many kola tarakulas here. There are three or four or five. Five, we have all five. Okay, that's a lot. Five is more, way more than three. Okay, so in Kala Tarakula, there's only a din that you need Suras HaKesher, should be Kesher Shal Kayama. So that's the Machlek Sabyuda Nachachamim, whether a naniva has a Suras HaKesher Shal Kayama or not. But that it should last for a long time, that's a unique din only in Hilchot Shabbos, because of Malachas Mal Shabbos HaSutur. So that makes sense. The chumra of the Shilti Gibor makes sense. If you make a kesher, agabi kesher, and on Shabbos, and you plan to untie it in the same day, so it's mutam itam hilcha Shabbos. But they lahash for Shabbos with sharkol atarakula, so you have to ask them in the Rabban. That's the reason. That's what he thought. That's the reason for the chumra in Rabban. Based on the Taisus in Yuma, and Daf Lamed Vav, Daf Lamed Zayin, that whenever something is a unique heter only in hilcha Shabbos, they call it Tarkula, it would be called kosher. Only in Shabbos is not called kosher because it lacks the time component. You don't plan to leave it for so long. So they'll hash for Shabbos, it'll shar call it Tarkula. So you ask them in the Rabban. Not everybody has that chumra. The Shari Tshuva next to the Behetiv quotes the Chidor. That I think he writes, and in Italy, he lived in Italy a lot. He traveled around. He was a mashulach for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael in 1700s. So he traveled around from country to country, raising money and sending all the money to Eretz Yisrael. And going to all the libraries. He would always, whenever he would go to a city, if there would be a royal library that had a lot of svarim, he would go see what they have, and whenever he would find some new chidushim, he would copy it down. And he was the first one who discovered all of the Meiris, that for centuries they didn't know the Meiris were lost. So whenever he would find a chiddush in the mirror, he would write it down in his Birkei Yosef, in his other svarim. So the Chidor writes that in other countries in Europe they never had this chumrah, not to make a kesher gabi kesher. But those where they do have it, let's say when you'll all be blessed with the little babies, and the little babies always untying the shoelaces. You got no choice. You have to make a kesher gabi kesher. Otherwise, you've got to keep untying the shoelaces every 2 minutes. The babies always untie them. So some people buy a special contraption, the Kovet Shabbos, that they put on. They only make a aniva gabi kesher. They plan to untie it within 24 hours. Then they put a contraption on top of it that the baby can't untie. But if you're not interested in buying the contraption, you just make a double knot in fartik when there's a shas hatrak. Because it's only a minig, it's not a real din. So getting back again. So the Balei HaTosfos asked the kasha. Balei HaTosfos understood. They probably saw the Rabbein Eliyahu every day, you know. If he was related to the Rabbein Eliyahu, I think it was his brother-in-law. They saw that he untied the yud every day and he tied it anew. So if he holds that you have to tie the kesher every single day, so how come the Gemara says if it's chadoshes, means it's einam mekusharis, doesn't have the knot, then you're not allowed to tie it on Shabbos. Why? But it's you're going to have to untie it within 24 hours. You're going to untie it tomorrow. Every day you have to put the tefillin on again. And every day you have to untie the knot and tie it all over again. So it's by definition, kesher, she'enin keshel kayama, so it shouldn't be an iser at all in Hilchas Shabbos. So the Mordechai quotes that those who came to defend Rabbein Eliyahu, so he said, Migo da havi kesher, the gabi Hilchas tefillin, that's what it says in the Chumash, ekshartim lo osal yadecha. And he understood that the word ekshartim in the Chumash doesn't mean hiduk, because the Tanoim would have said hiduk. So the fact that the Gemara uses that Loshen, Mishas Hanoche, Vat Shas Kshira, the Gemara should have said Vat Shas Hiduk. You see that the Gemara, in Talmudic language, the word Kshira means to make a Keshah, to make a knot. It doesn't mean Hiduk. In Biblical Hebrew, you can say Ksharta means to be Mahadeh. But in Talmudic Hebrew, Kosher means to tie a knot. So they say according to Rabbein Eliyahu, Migda Havi Kosher Legabi Tefillin Havi Kosher Nami Legabi Shabbos. Since in Hilchas Tefillin the Tefillin are kosher, even though every day you have to untie the knot and tie it all over again, so it's considered kosher Legabi Shabbos as well. Whatever that means, you've got to understand. Sometimes the Gemara has like that. Migda Havi Doif from the Shabbos, Havi Doif from the Sukkah, Migda Havi Doif from the Sukkah, Havi Doif from the Shabbos. What does that mean? That's a problematic Gemara also. So this is also Psachidish.
According to Rabbein Eliyahu, would it have to be Munach before you make the Kesher? Meaning, would you have to have it on your arm or on your head as you make the Kesher?
That's what it sounds like.
Is that?
It's easier to hold it in your two hands. Like this, you only use one hand. How can you do it? How can you tie a knot with one hand? I don't know. That's what it sounds like. That's how you read the Gemara. Mishas Hanoche, Bad Shas Kshira. You have to do the Kshira. That's a Pella. That is a Pella. So Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam is not happy with this from Rabbeinu Eliyahu. What does he say? Rabbeinu Tam nearer the Hikshir Hainu Hiduk. That the Loshan HaGemara just means the same as the Loshan HaChumish. And the Loshan HaChumish, Kshat Melo Sayyidecha, means that you tighten it. That's all. And they quote all the Gemaras, and the Gemara says kosher, and it doesn't mean kosher. It means that it's held tight. Then they have another Kasha. The Gemara has here, what's the whole context that it came up? So the Gemara says on the second line from the top, Om Rab Yudah Marav, Rab Yudah was a Talmud of both Rab and Shmuel, so often he quotes things in the name of Rab, and often quotes things in the name of Shmuel. So here he quotes in the name of Rab, Talmud Chacham, he's only called Talmud Chacham, he knows how to learn, but Tzor Shiyim or Gimel Dvarim, in addition to learning, he should know the umness of the following three things. He should know Ksav, he should know how to sign his name. So Rashi says, if he'll have to sign on a psak, he has to know how to write. There are some countries where the people know how to read, they don't know how to write. Some countries know they don't know how to read or write, okay? So the Jewish people were always very literate. We were the Am HaSefer. We're called the Am HaSefer, I think, in the Quran. If I'm not mistaken, I think the original place is in the Quran. So the Jews are called the Am HaSefer. So we were always pretty literate. But there were people who knew how to read, they didn't know how to write. So the Talmud Chacham has to be able to sign on a psak, on a tshuva. Okay? He has to know ksav, he has to know shechita, in case he'll get stuck in a community, but there's no shechit. And he has to know how to do bris milah. Then the next one says also the name of Rav. The Rav added on another three things. He has to know how to tie a kesher shel tefillin. He has to know how to say birchas chasanim at a wedding. And he has to know how to tie tzitzis. Then the Gemara says v'idoch. And how come the first one, Rav Yehuda, says the name of Rav only three things? Why doesn't he agree with the second one of Chananya bar Shalmio that he should have to know the other three also? The Gemara said that's not a problem. Come on. Kesher shel tefillin. There's always someone who knows how to tie kesher shel tefillin. Talmud Chacham doesn't have to know. So the Gemara says, V'idach, and the first one, Rabbi Yehuda Marav holds, Hani Shchichan. Everybody will always fight someone. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Bob Metzia. What does it say then, Bob Metzia? Rashi doesn't quote it. Tosis quotes it. Tosis quotes it from Bob Metzia that what? Kidioma, oh, top the line of Tosis. Kidioma, Bamitzia Dav Chartes, Tvilin, Bei Barchovu, Mishkar Shchichi. In his home, Barchovu. In every city, there's always a Sefer who knows how to tie their Kesher Shal Tvilin. So you have to worry. The Tom Chacham doesn't have to know. So Tosis says, what are you talking about? According to Rabbeinu Elio, every Jewish man from the Bar Mitzvah has to tie the Kesher every single day. If he doesn't tie the Kesher, he's not Yaitse. So what do you mean? Every day he's going to go to Bar Chobo's home and ask him, please tie the kasher for me. It doesn't seem correct. That's their kasher. And that's going to be good. If Bar Chobo ties the kasher for me, how am I yotze the mitzvah? It's very strange. If the Rabbeinu Leo understood that that's the mitzvah, kshatim lo sal yodecha. So it sounds like that's not the mitzvah. That's not part of the mitzvah. It's just... you have to do a hanocha and a hiduk, but it has to be like you said. You have to tie the kesher. Somebody has to tie the kesher anew every day. And the one who wants to be etz in the mitzvah has to put it on his arm. It's a funny pshat. So how does he translate the words? That's what you ask. How does he translate Yishas hanocha about shas kshira? You should do the kshira before you do the hanocha. Very strange. So I remember when we learned Hilchas Tefillin, Rav Soloveitchik thought that Pshat was like the Keren Ora. Keren Ora on Menachos. Keren Ora was the younger brother of the Mishkan and Yankov. They used to learn together, and then when the older brother passed away, he was the rabbi in Karlin, Rabbi Yankel Karlina. Karlin is a Chassidish stronghold. Stolen and Karlina are like Tinek and Bergenfield. If you walk 5 minutes, you're in the other village already. They were twin cities. And the cities weren't so big. One big village. So Rabbi Yankel Karlina was the rabbi. Quite a few of his chuvas to explain why the Hasidish practices are wrong. Why they insist on having a green esrog, he says it's wrong. And all kinds of chuvas against the Hasid. Or they do al pikabola, they put on tefillin shel yad in a sitting position. A lot of Sfardim do like that. So he said that's a misunderstanding of the Kabbalah sources. He knows better. Okay, so he has a lot of his chuvas are attacks against the Chassidim. So after he passed away, after the Mishkan Sank passed away, the community pointed his younger brother, the Keren Ora, as the rabbi in the community. So the Keren Ora has Svarim on the Mesichtas of Kochim. So he has a suggestion. He doesn't think that's what the Ben Leo meant. He thinks all he meant to say was when you do the Hiduk, a lot of times when you finish wrapping the Shalyara on. So just holds like that. So he says, no, you got to make a double knot at the end that it should hold. He says he just meant to say how you do the hiduk. After you do the whole shoyad, whatever you do, then you should tie a double knot at the end that it should hold well. But he didn't mean that you have to untie the yud and tie it every single day. How can it be? So the whole Gemara and Hamotzei Tefillin doesn't make sense. All the kashas are tasted to fall away if you say it like that. The only question is, they didn't see him? They just read his book and they heard about him. Pasha Pshat, they knew each other and they saw the way he tied the kesher every day.
I think Rabbeinu Eliyahu is from Paris. Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Paris and Rabbeinu Tamar in another city.
Okay, so they didn't see each other. Okay, I guess they didn't see each other. Okay, Rabbeinu Tamar was in Paris every so often, but he was never there on a weekday, I guess. He never died in the same shul? Okay? He never saw him? Okay, that's what you got to say.
What does that mean, you tie a double knot at the end?
When you finish winding all the ritzu, so then what do you do? So everything can fall apart. So you should make a double knot at the end, a kesher agami kesher, that the hiduk should not fall apart. But it doesn't mean that you untie the yud, you don't do the yud over again. So the Gemara talks about making the dalet, making the yud, Tam Chacham should know. The other one says, no, there'll always be a sefer in every village. Mishka Shchichi. You'll always find the sefer and knows how to make the kesher. Birchas Chassanim. Yeah, the rabbi has to know how to say Birchas Chassanim. We have a siddur today, so you don't have to know anything. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us that on one occasion he attended a wedding in Boston, and the kala's mother was wearing such a low-cut gown he wasn't allowed to say a bracha because she wasn't dressed properly. So he said he needs a siddur, because it says in Achrenim that it doesn't help if you close your eyes. The money I make, if you pick up a sefer like this, and you're mafsik with the sefer between the half-undressed woman and the rabbi's eyes, it's okay. Chacham Avadia quotes that practice also. So he said he needs a siddur. So they started looking around, they couldn't find the siddur. So they said, Rabbi, you don't know how to say pi. He said, no, that's the din. He would never explain. They would ask him, what's the din? He would never explain why the din is like that. That's the din. He needs a siddur. So it took him a few minutes till he finally found the siddur. And then he held the siddur up like this. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says. Tamar Chacham has to know how to say the brachas by heart. Birchas Chassan, without a siddur. Okay. Yeah. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmur. So that's a famous topic. Machlokes Rabbeinu Yo and the Rabbeinu Tam. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. First it was Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marab. Now it's Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He was a Talmud of both. Kol Tavol Sheni Deilcha Shchita Osa Lecha Mishchita Osa. The Shechet has to know Hilcha Shchita. Ve'elhein Hilcha Shchita. What are they? The five dinim. Shia Drasa Chala Ata Hagram Aviyika. We spoke about it already. Shia means if you pause in the middle of the Havahav Soke, too long a pause. Shia is a dinim Kol Ata Rekula, at least Lama Tchila. Shia Mishar Kedelik Maskula. So here also dinim Shia. Drasa means if instead of cutting, fiddling back and forth, you just place pressure and you push the knife straight down, like when you chop vegetables, you go like this, and then it's an avela. You have to fiddle back and forth. You have to place pressure down, but you have to place the pressure down at the same time that you're cutting sideways. That's called drasa. Not to be confused with drusa. Drusa is one of the treifas. The Rambam says there's so many different treifas. The only treifas that's mefurish bikra, the only one that's Torah Shebichsav, is drusa. If the basa basada treifa lo sachelu, basada means the sheep was attacked by a bigger clawed, by a bigger animal. So that's called drusa. And chalada means like a chulda, if you stick the knife in between the corner and the reshet, and then you cut out. You have to cut from the outside. We'll get to the details later. Agrama means a shech too high or too low. We'll get to the details later. And ikur was the big machlekes Rashi and the halachas gedolos. So the halachas gedolos interpreted ikur means if the simen you shechting the kona, an oaf you shechting the kona or the veshet, and a bein you have to shech both the kona and the veshet. So if before you begin to shech, one of the two simonim is nekav imkom, it's no longer attached, it's supposed to be attached on the top, supposed to be attached to the rest of the body on the bottom. So if it's no longer attached, the animal will still live on, but its nekar, it's detached from where it's supposed to be on top. So the shechita cannot pichal. According to Rashi, Rashi also holds from that din. If the simon is nekav, Rashi probably holds that it's a treifa. If the conadivation is not attached on top or on bottom, it'll be a treifa. And according to the Bahag, it'll be worse than a treifa. Treifa is mitam de nevela, but this will be a nevela mamish.
How do we know that Rashi holds
it as also? It's Mishnah, Tosefta. Tosefta quotes Beferish at Tosefta. And Gemara is like that. We're going to come across the Gemara later. Yeah. So Rashi also agrees, but Rashi probably, Tosefta says, Rashi holds that the animal is a treifa. So the shechita will be chal. And the Bahag holds no, that the shechita is not chal. And that simen, that snekar, shechita is not chal. Ayin and oaf, you only have to shecht one. So why does it just have to say, if either the kona or the veshet is neka mimkom, even though you're shechting the other one? So what's wrong? So the shechita is only on the one simen. So you see from the Tosfos, that just like there's a din that ruba kukuloi, If you shech roiv of the kana, roiv of the veshet, that's sufficient. So by oif, it's also that if you shech one, the shechita is chal on both simonim. So the shechita cannot be chal on the simon, that's neka b'mkoma. So the Bahag probably, that's what Tosafot ends off, the Bahag probably would disagree with Rashi, that it's not a treifa. The Bahag says it's not a treifa. Just if you shech the simon, that's neka b'mkoma, the shechita is not chal, it'll turn out to be unavailable. Rashi holds it was a treifa all along. Even before you shechted it, it was a tray for the Meinaf Kamina. Let's say you milk a cow. So according, and the cow has a simen, either kana devesha, his nekar is no longer attached on top where it's supposed to be attached, normally in a normal animal. So according to the Bahag, it's not a tray for just that shechita won't be chal on it. But it was not a tray for, so that if you milked it, so the milk would be kosher. Now, Shani, according to Rashi, such an animal is a tray for, so cholav of behemoth tmei is also cholav of a tray for, is also us. That'll be one nafkamina ledina between Rashi and the Bahag. And then Taisus interprets Rashi. What does it mean, Ikur? What did Rashi translate by Ikur? Shiadrasa chalata agrama v'ikur. Where's the Ikur? Oh, Rashi all the way over there. Lekamon lamed beis, I'm sure kadei shechitas. Where is it? Rashi goes through one by one. Shia chalada agrama ikur. Where is Rashi have ikur? Agram has some first of those. Lash nagram is machriya. Rashi quotes the Mishnah from Daf Lamed Beis. Shochad havesha the posakas hargageris, hare ikur. So Rashi writes, if you take a knife and you shech the veshet, and then you take the gageris and you break it with your hands, so that's ikur. So Tosafot said, that's not shechita at all. You didn't even use a knife. So how do you call it one of the chamish ul chashchitas? If you shoot an animal and it bleeds to death, shoot it in the head. That's not shechita. That's not a psul in shechita. You didn't do a shechita at all. So Tosafot reinterprets Rashi. They think that Rashi meant to say that ikra means if you shech with a sack and peguma. So the sack and peguma is going to rip the simonim. Instead of part of it will be cutting the simonim, the sharp part. Then when you get to the peguma and the knife, then it's going to be ripping the simonim. So that's what Rashi meant to say. So why, according to the Bahag, why didn't he count as one of the Chomish al Cheshchita, one who shechts with the sack and peguma? Apparently, he thinks no. The Mishnah says if you shecht with the sack and peguma, it's like ripping. It's like ripping the simanim. So by definition, it's not called shechita at all. And Rashi understood no. If you shecht with the sack and peguma, it's called the shechita b'psul. It's called the shechita b'psul. The ma'naf kamina. So the shach nyeredeya gave a nafkamina ledina. Let's say you'll do shia b'miyot basra. Let's say a shecht roiv kana roiv eshet, and any animal dies a natural death. Fine. So a shecht roiv kana roiv eshet, it's a good shechita. What if I shecht the roiv kana roiv eshet, then I wait a half an hour, then I continue to shecht. I do shia b'miyot basra. So Rashi interpreted in the Gemara later. We looked it up a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about this. So the on Lamed Dalet, I think. So Rashi learned in the Gemara there. That shia b'miyot basra pasels. So Rashi would say the same. If you shecht with the sack and peguma b'miyot basra, it'll make it into an avela. Masha'ini erikain, according to the Bahag, that's like shechting rov kona rov eshet, then shooting the animal. Or you take a baseball bat and hit the animal over the head. That's not a psul. The shechita I did was good. I shecht the rov kona rov eshet, and then I popped the animal over the head. So it dies. There's no psul there. But according to Rashi, if you shecht with a sack and peguma, that's a shechita b'psul. So it'll pass over mir basra as well. The Rishach quotes a machlokes achreinim about that. If you shecht b'sak and peguma, then mir basra. If you hold like Rashi, the shia b'mir basra pasul, would you say the same by shechting with a sack and peguma? So that should depend. That's what Rav Soloveitchik and other gedolim, Rav Yosef Engel has like that. They say that depends on this machlokes. What's the definition of ikra? Fine. So the Gemara says that's what Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of Shmuel. Tabach shen edech l'chshchita osa lechem shchitosa. The Gemara says, Makamash malon. What's the chiddush? Kulu tenina, the rogu ferish and mishnayis. And Rashi tells him where all the mishnayis are. Everything Gemara, the tzvicha, the chiddush of Omer Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel is that what? Sheshochet lofanayin ebeis v'gimel pomen v'shochet shaper. We were watching two or three times when he shechted an anlay. He did a good job. But he knows technically how to do a shechita. But we ask him all the dinim, he doesn't know the dinim. He just saw a shechita so many times, he knows how to do it. So Ma'ud Tema, one might have said, mistakenly, mid-e-idach shachat shaper, since he shechted two or three times in our presence, and we were watching, and he did a good job. Hainami, this one that we were not watching, maybe also shachat shaper, maybe he shechted it properly. And he tells us he shechted it properly. Kamash malon, no. If he doesn't know hashchita, he doesn't even know what to look out for. So he may not even realize that he made it in a veil. He does know all the hashchita. Kamash malon, the Gemara says, came the legomar, since he doesn't know the dinim, zim the nishoy the doris v'lo yoda. He may not even realize that he'll do a shita, do a drasa, and it'll be in a veil. Okay. Good. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, another din Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Shmuel is Atabach Tzal Sheyibdek B'Simon Amlach HaShchit. After the Shechit finishes shechting the Rav Kan, the Rav Eshet, he should check to make sure that he shechted Rav Kan and Rav Eshet. This is a din der Aisa, a din der Rabbanon. What kind of a din is this? So Tosis has a chiddush that it's only mid the Rabbanon. Diba Maskal Asur Bachilo. Tosin writes, Menatoira, you have a roiv, the roiv pamim shechet shaper. You have the right to go bas a roiv. The Gemara says, Robinson metz shechita mumchim hay. Most of the people, one who would shecht an animal, we have the right to assume, that we had a long time ago, we have the right to assume that he probably knows hilcha shechita. Here, if we gave him a pchina, he doesn't know. In this case, he can't apply the roiv because we spoke to him and he does not know. Hilchoshchita just knows what, the way he's supposed to do it. He knows the technique, but he doesn't really know the halachas. So Taisus is assuming just like there's a roiv, Rabban Suimetz Hilchoshchita Mumchem Hem, so too there's another roiv, Rabban and Shechet Shaper. Most of the time, a person will do a good one who's shechting, will do a good job. Fine. So Taisus says the whole din, Hatzabach Tzor Sheyivdik B'Simonim. I mean, the Torah, you really have the right to rely on the Rav, Rappam and Shechet Shaper. The whole thing is only a Chumrim with the Rabbanah. So what would be the din of Loi Barak B'Simonim? The Shechet didn't not check after he finished his Shechita to make sure that he did Rav. That he shechted the Rav of the Kana and Rav of the Veshet. So how far would you... So Tosis says, the whole requirement for B'dik B'Simonim is only a Chumrim with the Rabbanah. Because Mi'ikra Din, Rappam Shechet Shaper. So how far would you go with the Chumrim and the Rabbanon? What would you say the din is of Leib Barak B'Simonim? So the Gemara says, Leib Barak B'Simonim is also B'Achila. You really could have said it's only a din L'Chatchila with the Rabbanon. Maybe B'Yevet would be good, even if Leib Barak B'Simonim. So the Gemara assumes not so. If there's, not only do they have to be B'Yevet with the Rabbanon, L'Chatchila, despite the fact that you have a Raiv, Rabbanon and Shechet Shapim with the Rabbanon, they say you have to check. They said further, and if you didn't check, then it's osa b'achila. But then the question is, how far did they go? Osa b'achila, or it's even metame tumas nevelis. If an animal didn't have a proper shechita, not only is it osa b'achila, it's metame, also nevelis and avatuma. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara. So Tess says, all machlekes is, how far did the chachamim go in the chumra that they made midirabana? Mikaradin, Tess says, you don't even have to check. After you finish the shechita, you don't even have to check to make sure that you shech the roiv, because Rabbanim shechet shap, you have a right to go bas a roiv. They made a chumer with the Rabbanim, so the question in the Gemara was, how far they go with the chumer with the Rabbanim. So that's what the Gemara has on Machlaikas. Okay, well, we're going to read the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amra, vi Amra, vi Amra, Shmuel, another din he says in the name of Shmuel, Tzabach Tzol Sheyirdik B'Simonim, Lachashchita, to make sure that he shech the roiv of the kone, the roiv of the vesh. Amra, vi Yosef, Afana, Namitanina, we have a Beferish and Mishnah, it's not Shmuel discovered America, it's an often a Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about the din of Shehiyah, so how long is the pause that will passel in the Shechita? How long a pause is considered Shechita? B'Shem and Omer, Imshok, De Bikur, if the shochet paused in the middle of the shechita, the amount of time that it would take to walk to the rabbi's home from the slaughterhouse, and then to check, to bring the knife to the rabbi, that he should be bidik the knife. So the Gemara says, my love, could they be kasimonim, sure could they be means, oh, I already said over the wrong pshat, I already said the pshat, the amount of time that it would take to go to the rabbi's home and he should check the knife. But first the Gemara thought, could they be kachacham, means you have to go to the rabbi's home and let him look at the animal to see, to check the dead animal, to shechet, shech, the roiv of the kohen, the roiv of the veshet or not. So the Gemara says, how can you say that that's pshat in the Mishnah, they biko chochem? You have to go walk from the slaughterhouse to the rabbi's home and let him look at the incision, whether it was roiv kohen or roiv veshet. And Cain, the Gemara says, nasata devarecha lashiurim, depends, Rashi says, it depends, does the rabbi live close to the slaughterhouse or far away? If he lives further away, then it's a longer shir shir. And if he lives right across the street from the slaughterhouse, then it's a shorter shir shir. The shir shir depends how close the rabbi lives. How can it be? How can you say k'dei biko chacham goes on checking the neck to see whether you shech the roiv of the kohen, the roiv of the veshet, this din of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, to be boidik in the simanim? So the Gemara says, no, it cannot mean that. Ella, it doesn't mean k'dei biko chacham, to bring the neck to the rabbi's home to determine whether the shech had shechted roiv kohen roiv veshet, or k'dei biko taba chacham. So it goes on checking the knife, doesn't go on checking. And we're not talking you have to walk to the rabbi's home, the rabbi lives either 2 blocks away or half an hour away from the slaughterhouse. No, that doesn't make sense. No, we're talking the shech himself is a taba chacham. El k'dei biko taba chacham. The shech himself is a taba chacham. So after he finishes, in the middle of the shechita, if he's going to pause the amount of time that it would take to check the chalaf, to check the knife, so that's called a shehiya. That's called the shehiya. So that's a fixed amount of time. Doesn't matter whether he lives near the slaughterhouse or far away. It doesn't mean k'dei biko chacham, you have to go to the rabbi's home and have the rabbi check the knife or check the animal. No, it means if the shechit himself is a chacham. If the shechet himself is a chacham, how long would it take him to check the knife? So that amount of time, that's the shir for shahir. If you have more than that amount of time, it'll be an avela. So now the Gemara has a machlekes loy barak mai. What's a din if the shechet didn't check after he finished the shechit and make sure that he shechted the roiv kohen or roiv veshet? What's the din? Do you say that it's only osa b'achila, but it's not metame? Do you say that it's even metame? So that's a machlokes hamarayim. Rabbi Leizer ben Antigonus b'shem Rabbi Leizer b'Rabbi Yadin Amar Treifa, the asura b'achila, but it's not mitame. And the masnita tana, there's a brayse that says nevela or mitame b'mas. It's mamish a nevela, and it's even mitame b'mas. The Gemara says b'maykam b'fligi. So Tosfos interprets the whole thing as only a chomer midrabbanim. And our Torah, we really don't have to check. You don't have to look at the siman. We have a right to go basar raiv. But apparently there's a miut hamotzei. So l'chatchila, since there is a miut hamotzei of shochtim who will do a poor job, will make an nevela, so you have to check to make sure you didn't make a mistake. You have to check to make sure that you shecht the roiv kohen or roiv veshet. So if you didn't check, for some reason or another, he didn't check, so mid the rabbana we prohibited b'chila, but would you even go so far to say that we say it has tumas nevelas mid the rabbana? So that's a machloikis hamarim. So what's a machloikis? But my kama fligis, so what's the nekudus a machloikis? But the Ravuna, the Yom Ravuna, b'im b'chayah b'cheskis, yisayimeres. Whenever you have a live animal and then you shechted it and you're not sure whether you did a correct job on the shechita, so the animal is b'cheskis, yisayimeres, so she bought a loch, b'amen, ishchata. Once you did the shechita, so then it's a rei b'cheskis, hatar, so that's the machlokes hamarayim. Rasav b'cheskis yisakama hashna meisahi. The behemah b'chaya b'cheskis yisraimer. So now you don't know whether he did that he shecht roiv or he did not shecht roiv. So you have to say hashna meisahi. So you have to say not only is it rasav b'chila, should have tumas nevelus as well. Umarsav and the other one holds no. Come on. The animal while it's alive doesn't have any tumah. The animal while it's alive is becheskas isoy medes, but it's not becheskas tume. So that's Tosis interprets. So that's machlekes how far the chachamim go with the gzeira de rabban. One could have really learned pshat and the gemara differently. Not at all like Tosis. Tosis says the premise is that in the Torah everything is fine. Because ro pamim shechet shapir. Where'd they get ro pamim shechet shapir? They got it from Rabban Shechita Mumchemen. They seem to have understood. We said it's the Beis Halevi explained that it's a machlekes harishonim. Rabban Shechita Mumchemen. Is that a psychological umdine that right people wouldn't get involved in some activity if they don't know how to do it? A guy wouldn't have the chutzpah to try to do a shechita if he doesn't know what he's doing.
But if it's about the sakin, what would it matter? The gemas can just happen. It can be a bimikra that the knife would get a begima or something would happen to the knife.
So therefore what?
So therefore it has nothing to do with the chachma of the shechet.
No, but that says ropam and shechet shapir. Most of the time he does a good job.
Meaning he checks the
socket
well before and after?
No. When a person knows how to shecht's an animal, he will succeed in cutting rosh kana and rosh veshet because he's done it in the past. He did it two or three times while we were watching. But
is the vasro ve'achila, is this a question about a suffix regarding the shechita itself, or regarding the kanin neveshet, the bikur simanim, or is it a question regarding the bedik of the sakin, like we had before?
No, it's probably a suffix on the shechita, where they did a good job at the shechita.
Even though we said that my love kide bikur simanim, and then amar le bai lo hachi amar yochanan kide bikur chacham, and Rashi is mafarish by the sakin.
Right, that's that Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Kedei Bikur, that means Kedei Bikur Chacham. But the Amora is saying Tzoch Shiyudek B'Simanim. You cannot say the Mishnah means the same. The Gemara thinks the Mishnah doesn't go on B'dikas HaSakin. The Mishnah doesn't go on B'dikas HaSimanim. The Mishnah is that first the Gemara thought Afanan Amitanino. Rabbi Yosef says it's a beferish in Mishnah. What do you need? Amar Abiyuda, Amar Shmotz, a Mishnah. The Gemara said, I don't think that's what the Mishnah means. Mishnah means he should check the sakin. The shoychin has to check the sakin, and the amount of time that it takes to check the sakin is the shir for the any given animal. So it says, not talking about checking after you finish the shechita. It's talking about checking in advance. How long does it take to check the sakin? So that's the shir for shir for that particular animal. But the Gemara didn't back out from what Amar Rabbi Yudah Mishmol says, the Shechet has to check the Simonim after he finished his Shechita to make sure that he shechted right. So Tosh says that whole concern that you're worried about, the whole thing is only with the Rabbanah.
But then when the Gemara continues, Lo Badak, isn't that still assuming that it's a B'dika of the Sakin?
I don't think so. No, it goes.
Why would we revert back? I mean, it's still a question about the Mishnah versus the Braisa, no?
No,
well,
no.
Why are we reverting back to Bdikas?
The Mishnah says, Kedei Bikur. Kedei Bikur. Shoah Kedei Shehiya Apostles. And what's a Shehiya? Shehiya Kedei Bikur. What does Kedei Bikur mean? So it goes on the Bikur of the Sakan Shal Shechita. But Rabbi Yudah Amar Shmuel quoted a different thing. That the Shechet who finishes the Shechita has to check to look at the Simonim to make sure that he succeeded in cutting Rav Kana Rav Eishet. He's not talking at all about checking the knife.
So the Lobana goes back to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel.
The Poshib Shat, yeah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says he's supposed to check after he finished Shechita, check to make sure that he did Rav Kana Rav Eishet. The Gemara says, and Taisa says it's only with the Rabbanan, the whole concern is only with the Rabbanan. So then Taisa says, now the Gemara asks, and how far do you go with this din the Rabbanan? Is it just the din l'chatchila? Maybe it's only l'chatchila, but the Eved would never ask it. The Gemara says, no, even but the Eved, if you didn't check this Simonim, you're not allowed to eat it. But how far but the Eved do you go? Do you only go l'gabi achila? Do you even go l'gabi tumah? So that's a machloikis with the Rabbanan, how far you go. One could have interpreted Not like Tosis. Where did Tosis get right? Pamim Shechet Shapir. Where did they get it from? That's the way they understood the whole Gemara. That the whole Gemara is a Machlokes Hamoraim. How far you go with the Chumrim and the Rabbanon? Why did they learn that it's a Din D'Oraisa? The first opinion that Loi Barak B'Simonim will be a Trefa, but it won't be Metamik and Avela. The Poshim Shat is that it's all based on Chazok and the Meikar. Be'emet B'chayez B'cheskas Iser. But it's not becheskas tuma. A live animal is not tummy. So if you have a suffix, but they did the shechita properly, so then you should assume legabi achila had the animal has a cheskas isa. Behema bechaya becheskas isa emeres. But legabi tuma v'tare behema bechaya is not tummy. Behema bechaya is tohar. So you should really paskin as far as achila it's also. You should have chazoka, chazoka li iser. Behema bechaya becheskas isa and legabi tuma. You should also get paskin based on the chazok and the meikara. That it should not be mitami. So why did Taisa have to say it's only with the rabbanon? Because that doesn't make sense to have a tarte to the sasri. The nekudas asafik is we're not sure that he sheft roif. So you're going to say since we're not sure, so legab yachiloya yigo basa chazoke behem bechay becheske siser. So you say it's also bechid, but legab itumi is yishtalav chazoke. So the live animal was becheskas tohar, was not becheskas tomei. So Tosis is concerned about that. You can't have a tag to the sasri. Why not? Is that true? You can't have a tag to the sasri if the psaka is being based on chazoke. So Tosis quoted. Is that Tosis? Tosis quotes a. Oh, here, yeah, the top Tosis on Tes on the base. Quotes a Gemara in Maseches Nazir. What's a din? A Nazir, a person is not mechuyev to observe Naziris. If he's mekabel net Naziris, he has to observe. So if a person accepts upon himself to be a Nazir, so there are three prohibitions. Tumat Tiglachas and Yain. He's not allowed to come in contact with a dead body. He's allowed to come in contact with the Shmoyna Shvatzim, and allowed to handle Nevela meat and the A&P, like a Koyan also. He's not allowed to be Metam and the Mason, but other forms of Tumah, there's no Azara. Fine. So Tumah, Tiglachas, the nose, is not allowed to take a haircut. He's allowed to shave his beard. The Kedushas Naziris is only on the top part. Kodesh Yagadal Perasar Rosho. So only the Rosh, this the bottom part of the head is not called the Rosh, only the top part. So the nose can be a clean-shaven guy. And during the Naziris, he can shave his beard also. He just can't take a haircut on the top part. Mishnah is like that. But the bottom part, and then when the Naziris is over, he has to shave off all the hair. He only has to shave off the hair on the top of the head. He doesn't have to shave off the hair on the bottom of the head. So there are three prohibitions. There's Tumat, Tiglachas, and Yayin. He's not allowed to drink wine. So when the Naziris is over, the Naziris, Stam Naziris, Loshim Yom. Yeah, the Naziris has to be a minimum of 30 days. If a person says, I'm in a Nazir just for a day or just for a week, he has to observe the Naziris a minimum of 30 days. He can be a Nazir for more than 30 days, 40 days, 50 days, 150 days. It doesn't have to be in units of 30, units of days. It has to be a minimum of 30 days. So if the Nazir is careful about all the three prohibitions, Tumat, Tiglachas, and Yayin, and he finishes the whole time period, then he brings karbanis at the end to be mat to him. That now, after bringing the karbanis, he's permitted to be metamil. Mason is permitted to drink wine and permitted to take a haircut. What happens if the nazir becomes nit matumas meis in the middle? He has to bring special karbanis of nazir tamei. Hayamim harishayim yiplu, and he has to start counting all over again. So he mentioned, I think, the Mishnah says, Heleni Hamalka accepted upon himself, upon herself, she was a Jewish queen, she accepted upon herself to be a Nazira for 7 years, and she lived in Chutz Lortz, and when the 7 years were coming to an end, so she came to Eretz Yisrael, so she lived in Bizman Abayis. So she came to Yerushalayim to bring the Karbanos, and the Rabbanim told her, sorry, all of Chutz Lortz is treated mid the Rabbanim in one big cemetery, Tumas Chutz Lortz, and you have to observe all the 7 years all over again. All the 7 years that you observed Naziris of Chutz Lortz, you were mid the Rabbanon in the middle of a big cemetery, a Beis HaKvaris. So she observed another 7 years. And then when the 7 years were almost up, then Bimikre, someone happened to drop dead in the same building where she was, and she became Nitma Tumas Meis. She had to wait another 7 years. So she observed Asgulif Arichas Yamin. So she observed the Naziris for 21 years. First 7 years in Chutz Lort, next 7 years she was Nitma at the end, and another 7 years. So 7 and 7 and 7 is 21. So the Mishnah has a din, a Perek Shnei Nazirim. That's the name of the Perek Shnei Nazirim. And then a third person says, one of the two of you became Tamei. I'm not sure which one, whether Reuven or Shimon. So you don't know who's the Nazir Tohar. One of them is Tohar, and one of them became Nitma Tumas Meis. So the din is they should both chip in together. They should bring a Korban Naziris Tamei. Nazir Tamei Misafik, and the Kohen should be Makom the Korban. It says it's either Reuven or Shimon, whichever one became Nitmat is, and then the Korban Naziris Tahara is whoever is a Tohar, so his Naziris is open, so we'll bring a Korban Nazir Tohar. Then we'll wait another 30 days, and then we'll bring another set of Korbanis for the Nazir Tohar. Whoever the first set of Korbanis for the Naziris Tuma, whoever was the one who was Nitbam the Meis, I had to wait another 30 days. After the 30 days are up, he'll bring his carbon, Naziris B'Tahara. So that's what it says in the Mishnah. Because it's a suffix. You don't know which one, Reuven Hashem, you don't know which one was Nitbam. So you bring a carbon Nazir Tomei ala suffix, either for Reuven Hashem, and then you bring a carbon Nazir Tahar, either for Reuven Hashem. Whoever was the Tomei, so the other one is the Tahar. And then you wait 30 days, and they both have suffix in Surah Lachumah. They both have to observe the Dinam of Naziris. Another 30 days. So the Gemara there is bothered by Akasha. What's the din is that Safik Tumah B'Shuv Sarayochet Sveka Tomei, Safik Tumah B'Shuv Sarabim Sveka Tomei. What's the definition of B'Shuv Sarabim? And what's the definition of B'Shuv Sarayochet? So the Gemara has two definitions of B'Shuv Sarabim. You go the Kula in either direction. If it's a B'Shuv Sarabim, Tezayin Amah wide, a big street, so that's Safik Tumah B'Shuv Sarabim. And even if it's inside a building, it's not at all a Bishul. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, in the end of Cheskabatim, whatever is a Bishul Sarabim, the Shabbos purposes, Tezayin Amo, and whatever is a Bishul Sarabim to be mafsik between one field and the other, when you get to being chayb to be mafish pay on this field and on that field. If you have a Derech HaRab mafsik benem, so you need separate pay on this field, separate pay on that field. So that's... So whatever is a Rishus Sarabim for Shabbos purposes, and it's a Rishus Sarabim for Hafrashas Peya, a Rishus Sarabim, Ashvil Harabim, is Mafsik between two different fields, will be considered a Rishus Sarabim for Sofik Tumah purposes. We'll say Sofik Tumah Rishus Sarabim Sveka Torah. And then the Gemara adds on, there's another kind of Rishus Sarabim. You go to cool them both directions. If the three people are inside a building, they're inside the Beis Medrash, and all three are standing near each other, it's clearly a Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos purposes, but for Tumah purposes, if you have three people, that's already, what do you call, two people as company, three people as a crowd. The Gemara learns it out from Safik Tumah Rishus HaYochid, that the Gemara learns it out from Parsha Soita. If there was, what is a Saita Safik? A Saita Vada means an Eshes Isha Zinsa. The Gemara calls a Saita by what's a Saita Safik? The husband was Kini Lovin Istra. The husband warned his wife, he was Choshen his wife, that she's being Bizana with someone. And then he was Masra Bo, he warned her Kinui. He said, Al Tistri Mish Ploni, because I think you're violating Loisinov. And then Nistara. And then she goes in to a private building with this person, and it's a Reb Lam Ladoma that she's probably having an affair with that person. So if you have Kinei Astira, then the woman becomes Asura Abayla, because Hari Kinei Lo Ben Istira, and Reb Lam Ladoma that she's having an affair. So the Gemara says the only time you have this din is if she and the Boyle are the only two people in the room. Let's say there's a big office, and she and the boy, the husband is choshed that the wife is having an affair with this person, and then she's a secretary in a law firm. They have 300 people in a big room, so she goes in with the boyfriend. The husband thinks that she's having an affair with the boyfriend. She goes in another 298 people in the room. So that's not called stira. That's that you have to have. She should violate yichud. The Baal HaTanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRab that it's only called stira. There are cases where it's a violation of yichud, but it's still not called stira. Let's say you have a law firm and you have 300 people working in one big room. And then at the end of the day, everybody goes home, little by little, one by one. At the end of the day, there are only two people there, a man and a woman. So that's a violation of Yichud, but that's not called stir. Stir is only if they walked into the room together when there was nobody else there. If there are another 298 people there, that's not called Yichud, it's not called stir. But if two people are left in a room, there were 300 people, and now there are 299 people and 297 people, one by one, everybody leaves, and then there are only two people left, that's Yichud, that's an Issa Yichud, but that's not called Stira. That's what the Baal HaTanya writes. And sometimes you have that it's called Stira and it's not called Yichud. Let's say the husband is Choshed that his wife is having an affair with her father or with her brother. So strictly speaking, there's no Issa Yichud with your father, with your brother. But if the husband is Choshed, so then it's called Kini and Stira. She says, I'm not doing anything wrong. There's no Issa Yichud. She's right, there's no Issa Yichud with your father, with your brother. But if it was Kini law, then that'll be Nistara, she'll become Asura Baila, even though she didn't violate any Issa. She said the husband is crazy. The husband is Amashugana, he's Choshed Bikshere. So Kine Stira is not exactly the same as Yichud. It won't be considered Stira unless it's Yichud. You have other people there, it's not called Stira. So that's what the Gemara learns out from the fact that the parsha uses the lashon v'nitma'o, uses the verb v'nitma'o, so it's a remez to the institution of safek tuma b'shus hayochid versus b'shus harabim. And the only time you have the din of kini astira, she becomes asur al baila, if only these two people are there alone. If the wife and the man, that the husband is choshed her biznus. But if there's another person there, then it's not called, then there's no issa, menatari, there's no issa yichud, if there's someone else there. And so it won't be called stira either. So that's how the Gemara knows that if you have three people, it's called the Rishus HaRabbi. Because the whole din of Sofik Tum and Rishus HaYochid, Sveika Tomi, is learned out from the, that's what the Gemara says, Hasim Hilchas Agmiri Lo Misoita, that's on Tesam and Beis. This whole din of Sofik Tum and Rishus HaYochid, Sveika Tomi, We have three different areas of halacha. We spoke about it on Parsha Shoftim. You have Bein Dam LeDam, Bein Din LeDin, Bein Nega LeNega. So Dam LeDam means Issa VeHeter. They quote from the Vilna Gaon and Aderus Aliyah. And Din LeDin goes on Din Mamis, and Nega LeNega goes on Tumah VeTara. So the three different areas of halacha. When you have a Sofik, each area you would paskin differently. If you have a Sofik in Dam LeDam, a Sofik Isura LeChumra. If you have a Sofik Bein Din LeDin, Din Mamin, you don't paskin LeChumra that you have to pay the money be Sofik. You say Sofik Mamana LeKula. You say Amotzim Achaber Olivarai. Whoever is Muchzuk can keep the Mamin. And when it comes to Nega LeNega, the Tumah V'Tara, it's legamre a different psak. We say Sofik Tumah B'Shu Sayachet Sveika Tomei, Sofik Tumah B'Shu Sarab Sveika Tohar. So each area of Halacha has a different way of paskining. So what's the definition of, where do you get this idea? Sofik Tum Mishu Sayachet Sveika Tomei, Sofik Tum Mishu Sarab Sveika Tohar. So it's learned out from the fact that a Soita Sofik is Asua Al Baila, and the Chumash uses the Lashon V'nitma to imply to us that by, if there were three people there, if there would have been three people, we would not have asked it, because it wouldn't have been stira. But because they're only the boil with the nevelis, only two people, that's called the Rishus HaYechad, that's why you go l'chumer. If there would have been three people, it wouldn't have been stira. And if it would have been three people, you wouldn't have said Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYechad. The din of Soita Asur L'Baila doesn't belong to the area of Tumah V'Tara. So what does it say V'Nitma'o? The Bimiram is to us that it has the same psak, that only if you have two people in the room, then you go to Chumra. If you have three people in the room, by Saito, if you have three people in the room, so it's not called Stira. There was no Yichud, so it's not called Stira. But by Tumah, if you have three people who are near each other in the same room, if you have three people in the room, two people over there, and the third one is over here, and he's looking from a distance, it says, Risi Echemekem Shenit. Shenitma, one of you became Tomei Tumas Meis, I don't know which one. So then the Gemara says it's still called B'Shus HaYochid. It's not called B'Shus HaRab. It's only called B'Shus HaRab after three people are standing near each other. So again, the din is Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaRab Sveka Tohar. There are two definitions of B'Shus HaRab. One definition is whatever is called the B'Shus HaRabim for Shabbos purposes, Tezayin Amawai, the street that the Rabim go through, That's one definition of Rishus Rami Golukula. Then another definition of Rishus Rami Golukula is learned out from the Parsha of Saito. If you have three people near each other, the whole din of Saito wouldn't have applied. So that's what the Gemara asked Akasha. Why does it say in the Mishnah Nozir, a person who's watching, it sounds like he's sitting next to the two Nazirim, Reuven and Shimon. So it sounds like they're all standing together. And he tells them, I know for a fact that one of you became Tomei to Mimeis. I'm not sure which one. I didn't notice whether Reuven or Shimon. So the Mishnah says they both have to chip in to buy Karban Naziris Tuma Misofek. They bring Karban Naziris Tahar. And they say, either the Naziris Tuma is for me, and Naziris Tahar is for you, and Naziris Tuma for you, and Naziris Tahar is for me. Then 30 days later, they both observe the dinam of Naziris in another 30 days. 30 days later, they bring another one, another Karban Naziris Tahar. Whoever was the Tomei the first time around a month ago, so now he's Tahar, he brings this Karban. So the Gemara asks, why did they bring, since there were three people standing together, so the din is Sofik Tumim, Shus Arabim, Sveka Tahar, so nobody should have to bring a Naziris Tumim. They should both bring the Naziris Tahara. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Well, Parach Bi Gemara, the fourth line from the top in the Tosafot, Parach Bi Gemara, the Gemara knows the rest of Kasha, Hanishnei Nazirim V'Hachti Koi Gabayim, the third person, the onlooker, was standing near them, Harei Tlosa, three people, Abli Sofik Tumo, Bishus HaRabim, was Sveiko Tohor, even though it's in the middle of Bishus HaYochid, middle of a building. For Shabbos purposes, it's not Bishus HaRabim. That's one definition of Bishus HaRabim. Whatever is Tezayin Amma wide is Bishus HaRabim for Shabbos and for Tumah. But there's another example of Sofik Tumah Bishus HaRabim. If you have three people together, even in the middle of a room, that's a Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos purposes, it's still Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara answers, so the Kasha was, V'loy lehem l'havi klal korban tumah, the only korban tumah, Mishani, the Gemara answers, Bar Maris tumah, Shenizko b'nechem, he's standing at the other end. The two Nazirim are over there, he's on the other end. So since they're not standing near each other, so it's called Tofik, Tofik tumah b'shus HaYochid. So now, the Gemara doesn't continue the Kasha, Taisus asks, so if it's Sofik Toma B'shus HaYochid, Sveika Tomei Vadai. So they should both have to bring Korban Naziris Tuma. And then wait a month, and they both should bring the Naziris Tahar later. Why do you say that only one of them brings the Korban Naziris Tuma? They should both, if it's B'shus HaRabim, it should be Sveika Tohar. They should both be Tohar. If it's B'shus HaYochid, it should be Sveika Tomei V'Vadai. How do you have a case where it's a Sofik? Shouldn't be a Sofik. So that's Taisus Kasha. Gemara thought about how to time. Yeah. So why once the Gemara answered that it's that the third person is not standing near the other two, Amai Toilin, why do you treat it as a suffix? Yeah. So Vim came to Rabbi Isaac Carbon Tuma. Well not carbon tar at all. Originally the Gemara thought all three are standing together. So they thought it's a Shus HaRabim. So they asked the Kasha, no one should bring a Korban Naziris Tumah, both should bring Naziris Tara. So once you get to the Maskana that they came to the realization that the third person is not standing near the other two, that they should both bring a Naziris Tumah, it should be Tomei Vadai. So what's Pshat and the Gemara? So what is Taisa's answer? That originally, when the Gemara thought that it's a Rishus HaRabim, that all three are together, you only learn out from Saito that Rishus HaYochid, Sveika Tomei Vadai, Rishus HaRabim, Sveika Tohar Vadai, you only learn out from Saito if it's a Dovish Evshalios, if it's possibility. But over here it's an impossibility. The third person who was watching knows Babada, only one of them became Tomei. They didn't both become Tomei. So based on his evidence, you can't say they should both be Tomei. So what was the Gemara's Kasha originally? They should both be Tohar, but you can't learn that from Saito Dovish Yev Shalios. So Taisus says the Gemara thought that Sofik Tumba B'Shus HaRabim Sveika Tohar based on Parsha Saito, if it's a Dovish Yev Shalios, then it would be Tohar Vadai. Here it's a Dovish Yev Shalios. He knows for sure one of them is Tomei. So then it should still be, both of them should be Tohar because of the Cheskas Tara. Each one was tohar for the last 25 days. And then 5 days before the end of the month, each Reuven and Shimon both accepted and then in the Zeris for 30 days. And 5 days before the end of the month, it's the 25th of the month. So now he says, Reisit Tumah, one of you became Tomei. So you're not learning enough from Soito. Tosafot says, from Soito, he only allowed Dabar Shav Shalias. But it must be that the Gemara thought you mitar both of them based on Chazokah. Both each Reuven and Shimon have a Cheskas Tahara. And whenever you're basing things on Cheskas Tahara, even a Dabar She'ef Shalias, you follow the Chazokah, even though it's a Tate de Sasri. What's the din? We have. There's a din sofik tumah b'shus harabim sveikai tohar. So let's say there's shnei shvilin, the Gemara and Psochem in the first parak in different mesichtas. There are two, let's say, there's the Henry Hudson Highway and the FDR Drive. One highway over here, one highway over here. And they will be heard that 90 years ago, before anybody was born here, they buried a mace the whole width of the highway, but we don't remember whether it's that highway or this highway. So whoever goes on either highway should really be a Sofik Tami, Sofik Tohar. But there are always a lot of cars going on the highways. No one ever goes by themselves. So it's always because there are a lot of cars, and it's also a Shus Rabbi Daraisa. Okay. So the din is Sofik Tami, Shus Rabbi Sveika Tohar. It's going to be Sveika Tohar. But if Bo Lishoel Bevasa, so whoever comes to ask a Shaila, he tells me, he drove on this highway. So I say, maybe the mesa on the other highway. Someone else comes and said, I drove on the other highway. I say, maybe the mesa on that highway. So I would pass on each one is told. What if they both came to us together? So the Gemara says, you have to be mitami both of them. So Tosafot said, that's only midirabban and you mitami both. On the level of the rice, even if it's a davish e'ef shalios, he's still mitar her both based on chazokah. Chazokah is a din hanhoga. Chazokah is not a birur that is mevara that the facts are true. It's not, how can it be mevara tate disasri? It can't be. Hazokah is a din. If you don't know what the facts are, you continue to be annoyed the same way you were annoyed until you realize that you have a question on your hands. So you really, so even if it's a Dav She'ef Shalios, you still follow. So that's the question over here, the Tosfos on Tesam and Aleph. Why did Tosfos say, Tosfos says, Minatar, you don't have to check to see at all whether he shechted Rav Simon. Because Rav Parman shechted Shapi, go Basar Rav. But with the Rabbanan, they were machmer, you have to check. So now it's a machlekes hamaraim, how far do you go with this chumer with the Rabbanan? So if loy barak b'simonim, the only aser b'di'evid, one could have said maybe the whole chumer is only l'chatchila, not b'di'evid. The Gemara says no. The Gemara doesn't consider that possibility. Loy barak ma, you have to aser something with the Rabbanan. I don't know why. Why don't you just say, you mechuyev to be barak with the Rabbanan l'chatchila? And if you're not barak, so it'll still be kosher. I don't know. The Gemara assumes loy bodak, you have to asa. But how far do you go to asa? So one opinion holds you only asa b'achila, you're not mitame. The other opinion says no, you have to go all the way. So Tosis sounds like because it's only midrabbana, that's why you don't have to go all the way. That's why it's a machlokes. Why, even if it would have been there asa, also yishtal after chazoke, the animal b'chayim b'chaya had a cheskas isa, but it didn't have a cheskas tuma. It was tohar. So why did Tosis say because it's only made the rabbanon? That's velahich mira that Tosis vasura b'achila. B'shem the rabbam shechet shaper v'shari mederaisa. Therefore, lahich mira lasoisa nevela. Because it's only made the rabbanon. That's why. Why do they have to say because made the rabbanon? Why don't they say because the animal has a cheskas tara and has a cheskas isa? So you paskan based on the chazaka, even though it's a tied to the sasri. That's a long discussion in the Shev Shmaitze talks about this. There's a famous case, we shechted 7 behemoths. And then we sold 1.5 behemoths, we sent to Alaska. And we have left from the 7 behemoths, we have 5.5 behemoths. 5.5, and we sent 1.5 behemoths to Alaska, we have 5.5 left. So the 1.5 that we sent to Alaska, we know that after we sent it, then we discovered one of the 7 behemoths that we shechted was really a trefa. So we have a right to assume that I have 5.5 here, so I have a right to assume Yisur Baruba, you say, you go Basarab, then the trefa animal is probably still here. The 1.5 that I sent, a kosher, and the 5.5 that are here have a Taruvus of the Nevela. So the shaila is, and the half that I sent is kosher, because you're basar roif, and the half that's remained behind is asar, because of a tarub, you asar half of an animal, the other half you don't asar. Does that make sense? So the Shev Shmaitzik was that there was a big machloikas in the days of the Achrayim. In such a case, can you split an animal in half? Like over here, say half of the animal is shchut, and the other half of an animal is a suffik nevela. So why don't you ask the other half of the animal? Itam suffik. So that's a dion because of Rav, because Rav is mevari the facts of the case. But here we're not talking about Rav, here we're talking about chazaka. Chazaka, even a tarta de sasri menaterba is good. Just med the rabbanon, sometimes you say, mechzik chucha bi etlulo. So if you have the shnei shvilin, and boil the shoulder of asachas, then the Gemara says you have to be machmar bot because mechzik chuch v'yatlula. Look, the balabatim will laugh at the psak, but mikra din their eyes say it is good. So that's a big discussion in Shev Shmaitza on this topic. Okay, but later tomorrow we'll have to continue some more. Take a look. There's a famous tesis in Beitza Daf Chafei. What do Rav Huna mean? V'hema b'chaya v'cheska sisa matters. What cheska sisa? Okay.